massaging the pain and death of it, falsely advertising it as anything they would want it to be until they bite. Let me just repeat that. Focus their attention on the forbidden fruit of sin, camouflaging the pain and death of it, falsely advertising it as anything they would want it to be until they bite. Remember, at this point, Eve has allowed herself to be isolated. She's allowed the devil to come up into her thoughts. She's disarmed. And now, here's step four. Here's step four in the devil's playbook. He will tell you anything you want to hear about sin because he's a liar and he's a murderer. So, you know, truth just isn't really his gig. He will let you, what do you want to think about that adulterous relationship? What do you want to think about anger, lust, anything? He will tell you anything you want to know about that sin, anything that you want to think about that sin, because he's a liar. When God found Eve, she was dazed and confused. It didn't make her wise. It confused her. The devil said, well, you're not going to die. Or in other words, there's no consequences to sin. Are there serious consequences to sin? Does the Bible say the wages of sin is death? You have to believe the Bible that says the wages of sin is death. Now, I just want to pick on TV for a moment, since I'm picking on everything else. And I watch TV. I watch the news and the Discovery Channel and Animal Planet. But you know all these shows, these sexy shows like Sex in the City and all these things. You notice how they never talk about the results of all that sex? They never tell you about HIV or any of these other problems that happen by it. You know, I just want to tell you that many diseases today are asymptomatic. What that means, the best example of this is HPV, the human papilloma virus. And there's all this talk about, well, just use a condom and you'll be fine. The HPV virus transmits skin to skin, and it doesn't matter if you use a condom or not. And the result of it is genital warts, cancer, and sterility in women. But you don't know, they don't talk about that on TV. They don't say, well, hey, let's go have a great night. But, you know, my friend, she caught HPV and it ruined her life. And she got sterile and she committed suicide. Now let's have a TV program on that. But they don't have TV programs on that. You know what I liken it to? I liken it to a beach. Everyone's on the beach in the waters and they're saying, come on in the waters, everything's great, everything's fine, come on in. And they're not telling you like every 5 minutes someone's getting eaten by a shark. They're not telling you, there's no signs posted, sharks in the water, warning, someone's dying every 5 minutes. No, they just want you to come on into the waters. And on TV and in movies today, they're just telling you, oh, come on in, everything's great, just come on into the waters. They're not telling you that many sexually transmitted diseases have no cure. There is no cure for herpes. There is no cure for HIV. And they're not telling you about all the emotional devastation that happens. There's so much emotional devastation that just destroys and ruins perfectly good relationships. You know, one of the most popular movies of all time is The Titanic. And I can say I watched it. It was before I was a Christian, and I'm not going to get into movies or anything else. But, you know, the whole point of that movie is sexual relationships have tremendous benefits. You know, the whole point of the movie was, you know, he's taking nude pictures, and they're all steamed up, having whatever in the back of a car, and, you know, and then he dies, and she marries some poor guy who never knows that she's really in love with this guy more than him, and she comes back at the end and drops the jewel in the water and pining away for the lover that she really loved more than the other guy. The whole point of the movie is this. These type of relationships have tremendous benefits. And Forrest Gump and all these other movies have their little shot of adrenaline for all that type of stuff, and they're slowly programming you out of right relationships and into wrong relationships. They're saying, come on in. Come on in. The waters, they're just great. So what I'm saying is this. I'm just letting you know the other side to the story, because they're not, and someone has to. Step five. And I just want to, before I go into step five, the Lord wants me to say, Romans 1:32 says this. It says, if you're allowing these things to go on, if you're taking pleasure in those things and you're watching those things, then you're just as guilty. If you're allowing those situations to go on, if you're watching that kind of stuff and taking enjoyment in it, then it's as good as if you did it yourself. It's just as bad. Step 5 says this. As soon as they bite, use the sin as an entry point to brainwash them and destroy God's purpose for their life. This is step 5 now in his playbook. As soon as they bite, use the sin as an entry point to brainwash them and destroy God's purpose for their life. And then get others, help get others defeated. Sin is a Trojan horse. So, you know, Eve didn't say, well, oh, I'm just going to bite the apple and frolic through the forest. No, the first thing she does is goes and gets Adam. Hey, Adam, check out this apple. It's great. Come on. Why don't you want it? You want to try it? Adam knew exactly what was going on. But sin is a Trojan horse. And he was sucked right into it. People at work, you know, sinners don't like to be alone. They want to get you involved too. People at work are constantly trying to get you involved. People that, you know, you shouldn't be hanging around are constantly trying to draw you into these things and getting you isolated or with people that you shouldn't be around. Eve affects Adam. Adam and Eve affects the whole world. The whole world is affected with sin. And this is the brainwash of it all. There's two brainwashings, introductory brainwashing and advanced brainwashing. And this is introductory brainwashing. This is what it is. God has created your sexuality as a shameful thing and it needs to be hidden. When God finds them in Genesis 3, they're shivering behind the fig leaves of their sexuality. They're covering themselves up, hiding from God. And that's what he says to you.